he had had for the Lord in the several places where he had traveled since he parted from us. We stayed not long in Shelter Island, but entering our sloop again, put to sea for Long Island. We had a very rough passage, for the tide ran so strong for several hours that I have not seen the like, and being against us, we could hardly get forwards, though we had a gale. We were upon the water all that day and the night following, but found ourselves next day driven back near to Fisher's Island, for there was a great fog, and towards day it was very dark, so that we could not see what way we made. Besides, it rained much in the night, which in our open sloop made us very wet. Next day a great storm arose, so that we were fain to go over the sound, and got over with much difficulty. When we left Fisher's Island, we passed by Faulkner Island and came to the main, where we cast anchor till the storm was over. Then we crossed the sound, being all very wet, and much difficulty we had to get to land, the wind being strong against us. But blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth, and of the seas and waters, all was well. We got safe to Oyster Bay in Long Island, which they say is about 200 miles from Rhode Island, the 7th of the 6th month, very early in the morning. At Oyster Bay we had a very large meeting. The same day James Lancaster and Christopher Holder went over the bay to Rye on the continent in Governor Winthrop's government and had a meeting there. Footnote 212. Rye is now in New York State. The boundary between New York and Connecticut was long in dispute. At this time, it seems Rye was in Governor Winthrop's territory. From Oyster Bay, we passed about 30 miles to Flushing, where we had a very large meeting, many hundreds of people being there, some of whom came about 30 miles to it. A glorious and heavenly meeting it was, praised be the Lord God, and the people were much satisfied. Meanwhile, Christopher Holder and some other friends went to a town in Long Island called Jamaica and had a meeting there. We passed from Flushing to Gravesend, about 20 miles, and there had three precious meetings, to which many would have come from New York, but that the weather hindered them. Being clear of this place, we hired a sloop, and the wind serving, set out for the new country, now called Jersey. Passing down the bay of Coney Island, Natten Island, and Staten Island, we came to Richard Hartson's at Middletown Harbor, about break of day, the 27th of the 6th month. Footnote 213, Natten Island is now Governor's Island. Footnote 214, Middletown Harbor is in New Jersey. Next day we rode about 30 miles into that country through the woods and over very bad bogs, one worse than all the rest, the descent into which was so steep that we were fain to slide down with our horses, and then let them lie and breathe themselves before they could go on. This place the people of the country called Purgatory. We got at length to Shrewsbury in East Jersey, and on first day had a precious meeting there, to which friends and other people came from afar, and the blessed presence of the Lord was with us. The same week we had a men's and women's meeting out of most parts of New Jersey. They are building a meeting place in the midst of them, and there is a monthly and general meeting set up, which will be of great service in those parts in keeping up the gospel order and government of Jesus Christ, of the increase of which there is no end, that they who are faithful may see that all who profess the holy truth live in the pure religion and walk as becometh the gospel. While we were at Shrewsbury, an accident befell, which for the time was a great exercise to us. John Jay, a friend of Barbados, who had come with us from Rhode Island and intended to accompany us through the woods to Maryland, being to try a horse, got upon his back, and the horse fell a-running, cast him down upon his head, and broke his neck, as the people said. Those that were near him took him up as dead, carried him a good way, and laid him on a tree. I got to him as soon as I could, and feeling him, concluded he was dead. As I stood pitying him and his family, I took hold of his hair, and his head turned any way, his neck was so limber. Whereupon I took his head in both my hands, and setting my knees against the tree, I raised his head, and perceived there was nothing out or broken that way. Then I put one hand under his chin and the other behind his head, and raised his head two or three times with all my strength, and brought it in. I soon perceived his neck began to grow stiff again, and then he began to rattle in his throat, and quickly after to breathe. The people were amazed, but I bade them have a good heart, be of good faith, and carry him into the house. They did so and set him by the fire. I bade them get him something warm to drink and put him to bed. After he had been in the house a while, he began to speak, but did not know where he had been. The next day we passed away, and he with us, pretty well, about 16 miles to a meeting at Middletown, through woods and bogs and over a river, where we swam our horses and got over ourselves upon a hollow tree. Many hundred miles did he travel with us after this. Footnote 215. This narrative has sometimes been questioned and sometimes been taken to prove that Fox was an instrument in working miracles. Neither solution is satisfactory or necessary. Recent medical annals give similar cases. A dislocated neck is not necessarily fatal. The incident shows again Fox's readiness in dealing coolly and skillfully with hard situations. He endeavors to do what can be done. To this meeting came most of the people of the town. A glorious meeting we had, and the truth was over all. Blessed be the great Lord God forever. After the meeting, we went to Middletown Harbor, about 5 miles, in order to take our long journey next morning through the woods towards Maryland, having hired Indians for our guides. I determined to pass through the woods on the other side of Delaware Bay, that we might head the creeks and rivers as much as possible. On the 9th of the 7th month, we set forward and passed through many Indian towns and over some rivers and bogs. And when we had ridden about 40 miles, we made a fire at night and lay down by it. As we came among the Indians, we declared the day of the Lord to them. Next day we traveled 50 miles as we computed, and at night, finding an old house which the Indians had forced the people to leave, we made a fire and stayed there at the head of Delaware Bay. Footnote 216. It is not easy to follow Fox's scanty itinerary. There are two Tinicum Islands in the Delaware. It is called Dinidock in the first edition of the journal. The crossing was probably made at the upper island, which is just in front of what is now the city of Burlington, though this would be hardly 90 miles from Middletown Harbor, as he estimates. Then he travels down across the very country which friends afterwards settled under the leadership of William Penn. There is evidence to show that the idea of forming in America a colony of friends originated with George Fox. We learn from a letter of Josiah Cole, a friend who had traveled extensively among the Indians, that George Fox had commissioned him to treat with the Susquehanna Indians for the purchase of a strip of territory. Fox's letter is not preserved, but Josiah Cole's answer is among the Swarthmore MSS, and is as follows. Dear George, as concerning friends buying a piece of land of the Susquehanna Indians, I have spoken of it to them and told them what thou said concerning it, but their answer was that there is no land that is habitable or fit for situation beyond Baltimore's liberty, i.e. beyond the domain of Lord Baltimore, till they come to or near the Susquehanna Fort. And besides, William Fuller, who was the chief man amongst friends with the Indians, is withdrawn at present, so that without him little can be done at present with the Indians. And besides, these Indians are at war with another nation of Indians who are very numerous, and it is doubted by some that in a little space they will be so destroyed that they will not be a people. Thine in the truth, Josiah Cole. This letter was written in 1660, 12 years before this American visit. About the same time William Penn's thoughts were turning in the same direction. Writing about Pennsylvania in 1681, he says, "This I can say, that I had an opening of joy as to these parts in the year 1661 at Oxford 20 years since. By a purchase made through John Fenwick and Edward Billing, friends obtained a possession of a great section of New Jersey in 1674, the year after George Fox arrived in England. There can be no doubt that his thoughts were on future settlements here as he traveled through what is now Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Next day we swam our horses over a river about a mile wide, first to an island called Upper Tinicum, and then to the mainland, having hired Indians to help us over in their canoes. This day we rode about 30 miles and came at night to a Swede's house, where we got a little straw and stayed that night. Next day, having hired another guide, we traveled about 40 miles through the woods and made a fire at night, by which we lay and dried ourselves, for we were often wet in our travels. The next day we passed over a desperate river, which had in it many rocks and broad stones, very hazardous to us and our horses. Footnote 217. The Desperate River was probably the Brandywine and the Christiana River and Christiana Creek, formed from a junction of Red Clay and White Clay Creeks. It finds the Delaware about 2 miles below Wilmington. The Bohemian and Sassafras Rivers are two of the many arms of Chesapeake Bay. The Kentish Shore is the shore of Kent County, Maryland. Tread Haven, or Third Haven, is farther down the bay, where the boats were so thick it seemed like the Thames. A meeting was established here, which remains until the present time. Thence we came to Christiana River, where we swam over our horses and went over ourselves in canoes, but the sides of this river were so bad and wiry that some of the horses were almost laid up. Thence we came to Newcastle, heretofore called New Amsterdam, and being very weary and inquiring in the town where we might buy some corn for our horses, the governor came and invited me to his house, and afterwards desired me to lodge there, telling me he had a bed for me and I should be welcome. So I stayed, the other friends being taken care of also. Footnote 218, Newcastle is in Delaware. This was on a seventh day, and he offering his house for a meeting, we had the next day a pretty large one, for most of the town were in it. Here had never been a meeting before, nor any within a great way, but this was a very precious one. Many were tender and confessed to the truth, and some received it, blessed be the Lord forever. The 16th of the seventh month we set forward and traveled as near as we could compute about 50 miles through the woods and over the bogs, heading Bohemia River and Sassafras River. At night we made a fire in the woods and lay there all night. It being rainy weather, we got under some thick trees for shelter, and afterwards dried ourselves again by the fire. Next day we waded through Chester River, a very broad water, and afterwards, passing through many bad bogs, lay that night also in the woods by a fire, not having gone above 30 miles that day. The day following we traveled hard, though we had some troublesome bogs in our way. We rode about 50 miles and got safe that night to Robert Harwood's at Miles River in Maryland. Footnote 219. Miles River is now St. Michael's. This was the 18th of the seventh month, and though we were very weary and much dirtied with the bogs, yet hearing of a meeting next day, we went to it, and from it to John Edmondson's. Thence we went 3 or 4 miles by water to a meeting on the first day following. At this meeting, a judge's wife, who had never been at any of our meetings before, was reached. She said after the meeting that she would rather hear us once than the priests 1,000 times. Many others also were well satisfied, for the power of the Lord was eminently with us. Blessed forever be his holy name. We passed thence about 22 miles and had a good meeting upon the Kentish shore, to which one of the judges came. After another good meeting hard by at William Wilcox, where we had good service for the Lord, we went by water about 20 miles to a very large meeting, where were some 100 of people, 4 justices of peace, the high sheriff of Delaware, and others, There were also an Indian emperor or governor, and two others of the chief men among the Indians. With these Indians I had a good opportunity. I spoke to them by an interpreter. They heard the truth attentively and were very loving. A blessed meeting this was, of great service both for convincing and for establishing in the truth those that were convinced of it. Blessed be the Lord who causeth his blessed truth to spread. After the meeting there came to me a woman whose husband was one of the judges of that country and a member of the assembly there. She told me that her husband was sick, not likely to live, and desired me to go home with her to see him. It was 3 miles to her house, and I being just come hot out of the meeting, it was hard for me then to go. Yet considering the service, I got a horse, went with her, visited her husband, and spoke to him what the Lord gave me. The man was much refreshed and finally raised up by the power of the Lord, and afterwards came to our meetings. I went back to the friends that night, and next day we departed thence about 19 or 20 miles to Treadhaven Creek, to John Edmondson's again, whence the 3rd of 8 months we went to the general meeting for all Maryland friends, footnote 220. What is now called Baltimore Yearly Meeting was established in 1672. This held 5 days. The first 3 meetings were for public worship, to which people of all sorts came. The other 2 were men's and women's meetings. To the public meetings came many Protestants of diverse sorts and some Papists. Amongst these were several magistrates and their wives and other persons of chief account in the country. There were so many besides friends that it was thought there were sometimes 1,000 people at one of these meetings, so that though they had not long before enlarged their meeting place and made it as large again as it was before, it could not contain the people. I went by boat every day 4 or 5 miles to it, and there were so many boats at that time passing upon the river that it was almost like the Thames. The people said they were never so many boats seen there together before, and one of the justices said he had never seen so many people together in that country before. It was a very heavenly meeting, wherein the presence of the Lord was gloriously manifested. Friends were sweetly refreshed, the people generally satisfied, and many convinced. For the blessed power of the Lord was over all, everlasting praises to his holy name forever. After the public meetings were over, the men's and women's meetings began and were held the other 2 days. For I had something to impart to them which concerned the glory of God, the order of the gospel, and the government of Christ Jesus. When these meetings were over, we took our leave of friends in those parts, whom we left well established in the truth. On the 10th of the English month, we went thence about 30 miles by water, passing by Crane's Island, Swan Island, and Kent Island, in very foul weather and much rain. Our boat being open, we were not only very much wet, but in great danger of being overset, insomuch that some thought we could not escape being cast away. But blessed be God, we fared very well and came safely to shore next morning. Having got to a little house, dried our clothes by the fire, and refreshed ourselves a little, we took to our boat again and put off from land, sometimes sailing and sometimes rowing, but having very foul weather that day too, we could not get above 12 miles forward. At night we got to land and made a fire, some lay by that, and some by a fire at a house a little way off. Next morning we passed over the Great Bay and sailed about 40 miles that day. Making to shore at night, we lay there, some in the boat and some at an alehouse. Next morning, being first day, we went 6 or 7 miles to the house of a friend who was a justice of the peace, where we had a meeting. This was a little above the head of the Great Bay. We had been almost 4 days on the water and were weary with rowing, yet all was very well. Blessed and praised be the Lord.